Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. They would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." They all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors and all those who were talked about, through all the hill country of Judea, and all who heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? The hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets which have been from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our forefathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The child grew and became strong in spirit. He was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of all the saints that the Church knows and remembers, from Abel to your own parents and grandparents, there are two humans that stand out for special recognition. The first is St. Mary, the Mother of God. I mean, what greater honor could there be than to bear God himself in your womb? Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken from the Lord, as Elizabeth, who gave birth in today's Gospel, said of her. And behold, from henceforth, all generations will call Mary blessed, as Mary herself admitted in the Magnificat. But the second human saint that must be recalled and commemorated by the Church, surely, is John the Baptist. "If you don't believe me, Jesus Christ, our Lord, said that among all of the men born of women, none is greater than John the Baptist." Well, surely that is reason enough to observe the nativity, that is, the birth of John. It goes without saying that the Church will observe these two saints, but far more important is how we ought to observe them. And for this, we can do no better than to learn from old Zechariah, from the father of John the Baptist, the man who's depicted on the bulletin cover. Zechariah struggled to believe the message that the angel brought him when he was on duty in the temple. That was the news that he and his wife, in their old age, were going to suddenly have a firstborn child. And he was struck dumb, that is, he was struck unable to speak for the rest of the pregnancy because he struggled to believe it. Now imagine just how much time he had alone with his own thoughts during those months. Imagine what astonishment and joy, maybe even a little shame, must have been his as his son began to grow in his wife's womb and as he knew that this angel's word was no lie. We know something of the delight of being a human father. We know the gratefulness, the pride, the excitement to hold a newborn, full of promise, with all of that child's future and possibilities standing before our minds. What we don't know is what it is also to have the revelation that Zechariah did, that this son was to be God's chosen instrument and chosen in a way unheard of since Isaiah and Jeremiah, that is, John, was hand-selected by God even before he was born, as the introit and the gradual today sing about. What is it like to be the proud parent of the greatest man ever born, if Jesus is to believe? Except Zechariah, he's not like you or I. He was not busy just only imagining. But when John was born and the name was scratched onto the tablet and broke open Zechariah's voice once more, he did not get up and tell all of the things that had been rattling around in his mind for 9 months. He did not sing a song about himself. He did not sing a song about his own son or how great he was. He didn't even exclaim about the miracle of birth or any such thing as you and I do. But instead, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he sang the canticle that we call the Benedictus. He sang, "Blessed be," not mom or dad, not baby John, but blessed be the Lord God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. Zechariah foreshadows the memorable words of his son John, which is that I must decrease and Christ must increase. The Benedictus is a song about Jesus Christ. That, in truth, is why we see today the chancel clad in white, just like it is at the other nativity that we know much better, and on Easter. Because to celebrate a feast in honor of John the Baptist has to be, indeed, to celebrate a feast all the more about Jesus Christ, in honor of him. Because that is who John is. He is only the voice. He is the forerunner of what really matters. He is the prophet of the highest. John would have it no other way, and neither would Zechariah. At the very first opportunity he had to sing again, the opportunity to proclaim the benediction, which Zechariah never had the chance to proclaim when he was on duty in the temple. Zechariah does not sing about his own son. He sings about Jesus. He sings about the God who visits to work redemption. He sings about the horn of salvation for us, raised from the house and the lineage of David. And he sings in concert with all of the prophets before him, who from the beginning of the world have been looking forward to this seed, to this offspring that was promised to our forefather Abraham. Now it's true, John the Baptist matters. The second half of the Benedictus is an address directly to him from Zechariah, who says, "You, child, you, John, you already have a title. You are the prophet of the Most High." And you can hear the quotation of our Old Testament reading from Isaiah in that song. "Go before to prepare the way of the Lord and make straight his paths." Now, John has that amazing statement from Jesus himself to his own credit, that he is the greatest man ever born. But this is because John stands as the last
of the Old Testament prophets. Now, I know that we hear about his story in the New Testament. We hear about them in the four Gospels. But really, you should know that John belongs much more with the Old Testament. He is the last of the voice, of many voices, pointing forward to the Christ who is to come, the incarnate Lord who is coming, adventing to save his people. John is the unique one, though, because he is the only one of all the prophets who gets the chance to say not just that he is coming, but that here he is. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is John's unique honor. But Jesus goes on to say more after calling John the greatest man ever born. We find this saying 6 chapters after today's Gospel in Luke, where Jesus says, "I tell you, among those born of women, none's greater than John the Baptist. And yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." John's greatness is not a greatness for himself. He does not serve his own purpose, but he serves the purpose of the one who sent him. That is, the very one whose way he is prepared. And that is what Zechariah is singing in his spiritual song, the Benedictus. He sings that you, John, are going to give knowledge of salvation unto God's people by the forgiveness of their sins. The preaching of John is to serve those who come after him, and even who come after Jesus Christ. That is you. John's entire ministry is pointing forward to the one in whom the world's sin is removed, and his work of baptizing for repentance into the forgiveness of sins is nothing less than bestowing that salvation onto God's people. The least in the kingdom of God. That's you and I, dear Christians. Still, we are greater even than John the Baptist in this sense. You and I don't only know the Lord who has visited, but we know the crucified and the raised Christ, the one who has redeemed his people and has worked salvation and is still to this day among our midst, working it in this grand way by the forgiveness of sins through the tender mercy of God. Christ Jesus is the dayspring on high who has visited us. He's brought light to darkness. He's brought us into peace with God through the forgiveness of sins by his blood. And to borrow from another nativity gospel, John was not that light, but he was the one who bore witness to that true light, the one who was coming into the world, the one who now is in it and has overcome it. So how then should you and I commemorate so great a man as John? Well, honor him by decreasing along with him, and by allowing Christ to be magnified. Honor him by loving John's preaching of repentance for the forgiveness of your sins in Christ Jesus. Honor John by being part of those who are even greater than him still, the least in the kingdom of God. Rejoice with Zechariah his father in the confession of the God-man who has visited and redeemed us by his tender mercy. For all who call upon his blessed name, God gives to them the power to become the sons, children not born of woman, not born of the will of man nor of flesh, but greater, those who are born of God. And so it is that you find your place among the saints as well, together with John the Baptist. Because you too are those who are sanctified in the knowledge of salvation which is by the forgiveness of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.